Konnichiwa, Crypto 101 Bryce.
And this is Pizza Mine.
I hope you guys are having a blessed, wonderful, amazing day. We got two financial institutions that are at the core of the blockchain ecosystem here to talk to you today.
Thank God. I'm broke and I need some help.
You're not broke. I've seen that bank account. You got more zeros than I got. Freaking,
you must have had beer goggles because you were seeing way more than was actually there.
So we got two companies. The first one that we're going to talk to is called Bicameral Ventures. And they'll talk a little bit about the name Bicameral. I've never heard the word before. When I hear bicameral, I think of a two-humpback camel, right?
It's not?
It's not.
Oh.
It's actually the two chambers of thought processes that they have. And they'll kind of elucidate what that means. But basically, it's the idea that they want to support the broader blockchain ecosystem. So when they're making investments, right? They want to have an investment support the broader, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships kind of thing. But they also need their project to have a real business model. And it's the real business model thing that is kind of...
It's really eluded this space up until now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's really eluded this space. And so they're saying, hey, you have to have real revenue attached to your products, which is really amazing.
Good luck.
Good luck, right? Okay, so the next guys that we got on here are from a little company called iTrust Capital. And I say little a little facetiously because they're not so little. What they are is a IRA and 401k consulting firm that will allow you to put your 401k and IRA into crypto.
And I just think it would be a hilarious coincidence if this turns out to be a scam and it's called iTrust. However, I think that it's going to be a revolutionary thing and I'm going to put a ton of money into it and tell all my friends and family, even without a referral code.
So if you guys want to get exposure to the class of digital assets and you have an IRA or 401k that you want to roll into it, I would suggest checking out iTrust. And without further ado, part of our hybrid series here, we got Matthew Aaron conducting the interview, and we'll catch you guys after the show.
Kesem Frank, CEO of Bicameral Ventures. Welcome to Crypto 101, sir.
Thanks so much. Good afternoon. Very glad to be here.
Awesome, man. First, tell us, what does Bicameral Ventures do, and maybe a little bit of a history of your company?
Absolutely. So again, very happy to be here. Bicameral Ventures was born out of the realization of what would it take to actually build blockchain from, let's call it, very niche in utility and use case into something that the mainstream could actually hope to adopt someday. How would we get this technology from, you know, high potential but low maturity into a state where you could actually run something as aggressive as a bank or manufacturing facility on a chain natively? That was kind of the vision back there in 2016. In 2017, we announced our very own permissionless blockchain. It's called Aion. That is spelled A-I-O-N. Today, it's the largest Canadian protocol that has its own mainnet. We launched it in 2018. And I think what we very quickly realized is that even though a lot of what the effort was focused around was very technical, meaning how do you build this thing to become a reality, the go-to-market can just be around, if you build it, they will come. The go-to-market needs to be much more progressive and proactive, maybe, in terms of how do I beat the organic growth rate associated with my platform? How is it that I actually go out there to the world and tell people, hey, this is a piece of technology you should care for, and this is why we think you should adopt it? And that was pretty much the inception for what Bicameral Ventures is. So, you know, even taking just one second and talking about the name itself, I know we just chatted about what bicameral actually means. In very, very simplistic terms, bicameral is any domain that is governed by two chambers of thought. And here's how we kind of look at the world. It's not enough that whatever it is you do, whatever it is your venture aims to actually accomplish, it's not enough that you're blockchain based. It's not enough that you're going to do some truly innovative, you know, use of a token or maybe it's the ledger itself. You also have to have your own merit based on the business, based on the true value proposition that you think you pose to the world. And the two chamber of thoughts are very simple. You have to be a business that stands on your own, you know, two independent legs, but at the same time, you have to mean something for the broader ecosystem. You need to matter for the blockchain world. And we think that by taking that prism or that dual prism of any venture that we engage with, invest in, we think that this is how we help the maturity of the industry as a whole. So that's kind of how we got to the name, and that's how we got to where we are today.
That seems like a pipe dream for a lot of these blockchains. What we're seeing is we're just not seeing the throughput. We're not seeing that, one, you'd even need it to be on a blockchain, and two, that you even have the speed or the technology, or if it's even able to be scalable to a point where it can do something that is so, I guess, throughput heavy as banking. Can you please explain what your vision is for the blockchain in the future? And second, maybe how that could be shaped by Bicameral and your vision for development?
Yeah, wow. Profound questions. Yes. Happens to be kind of my favorite topic. So happy to speak to it. You said, hey, we understand how incredibly challenging it is, right? We have some of the brightest people in the world trying to solve for these problems of how do you not compromise decentralization, but at the same time, how do you order of magnitude, or maybe a couple of orders of magnitude, improve the throughput, even, you know, I would say that TPS is important, but also the encryption, quantum is a big concern. Like, there are so many different factors that need to align for this technology to actually be able to do things like my vision, right? How do you actually run mainstream, large-scale business on top of a chain? So I would say that it's never one thing. I don't think that anyone in their garage right now is going to bring one solution that is going to tip the entire industry. I think it's going to be a much more collaborative effort by many different smart people that are trying to solve for this same goal. I think that in the meantime, meaning with the kind of throughputs and the kind of solutions that are already viable today, right? There is already a public network, something that we could actually look and gauge in a tangible manner that operate today. And in terms of how do you address use cases that are very throughput intensive today, I think that it's a matter of really understanding what it is we're trying to solve for. And here's what I mean. I have a lot of experience working with very large companies and trying to actually qualify and quantify what is the value they get out of the blockchain. And I would say grossly, there are three kind of steps that we should all think about when we are thinking about, you know, this blockchain and enterprise domain. One, it's around the validation of the data itself, meaning can I create immutable data points that because I could prove they're immutable, I don't need to have a high degree of trust, right? We could actually facilitate that trustless feature of the blockchain in a context of enterprise. Two, there is the intercompany and intercompany communication, meaning if we're all sharing a ledger that's distributed, could we actually look at that and say that is the way that we think is much more efficient at communicating because it's able to disintermediate how we do current stage processes. And then three, and I think this one is probably the furthest out, is the automation out of being able to rely on autonomous agents, right? Smart contracts, DAO types organizations. And I think there's gigantic value out of it. I just think that's the furthest out. If I go all the way back to the very first value, I would say that the value of being able to prove something is or isn't the way we say it is, that is probably 60% of the value that is immediately unlockable today for enterprises. The less technical control you have over the infrastructure that houses data, the more trustless that data is by third parties, meaning the less they need to rely on you and the more they're willing to accept it as an actual validated truth. So we don't need crazy throughputs to be able to create whole Merkle trees that prove that on very large data sets by harnessing what blockchains are very good at doing, which is incredibly efficient state machines. So it's one example of how we could, you know, materialize this vision today without having to hope, right? Literally hope for some technology breakthrough tomorrow. We could literally build and implement those today, and we do. Now, the second thing you said is, I think, around the relevancy of Bicameral in this space. For Bicameral, I think the value is pretty unique in the sense that we actually encourage companies to have as broad applicability of a value proposition as possible. We do not want to lock ventures into one specific ecosystem and cut off all the rest. The reason we do it that way is because we understand that for blockchain to really kind of materialize the potential, it has to be not zero-sum game. It can be that, you know, Ethereum wins and EOS is lose. We actually think we're going to see a lot of specialization in terms of what different protocols are good for solving for. We aim to be that layer that enables you to connect all these different stacks.
Give us a quick one-on-one on Aion and why it was developed.
So when we created Aion, it was a very, very fragmented landscape out there in terms of different architectures, what they're good for, what could you use them for. When we created this protocol, it was around how could you solve the technical problem of interoperability around different blockchains. And we thought that the very simple way to do it, to solve for it, is by allowing you to essentially swap the underpinnings of your token in a way that your crypto economics could live on multiple platforms simultaneously. So essentially, this means a single token supply deployed across multiple blockchains. And that was kind of the very first solution that we created with Aion. So just at the end of 2018, we actually used one of these bridges, which is how we call the connection piece between different blockchains, to move around $100 million worth of stake, being our own ERC-20 from Ethereum, to the Aion mainnet in the true Aion coin.
I have a question about the trust that you talked about. And if we could briefly just go into it, there's a sentence on the site that I really am curious about. It says, blockchain at its core is a vehicle to reduce the cost of acquiring expensive trust. What does that mean?
So expensive trust, you could think about it essentially in two layers. There is mechanical trust. There is the trust that is associated on the peer transaction cost. And by the way, that's why banking is expensive, because we need to be able to prove when we move money, wire money to each other, that those transactions actually took place and reconciliation throughout the entire value chain actually happens. There is a high-level trust, however. The way that you and I, if we're companies, the way we do business together is by investing into relationships, investing into frameworks, legal, structural, cultural, and that kind of enables the entire fabric. What blockchain does, the part of it that gets me really excited, is it kind of shows us there is a new method to think about trust. If we could essentially have this transparency layer that's immutable, that is deployed between all actors that are interacting with each other, and we could now have this super efficient rail that proves someone is a bad actor in a way that never enables a bad actor to claim they're not, that really changes how we think of trust. So we don't need to put so much capital against it, right? Maybe we have cheaper rails of interaction. Maybe we don't need as robust of a legal framework. Maybe even how we think of interaction itself socially changes. But the end result of it is the same. The end result of it, the blockchain enables this trust ledger that enables us a new type of interaction, a much more streamlined way of interaction. And those are the, I would say, the key kind of, you know, KPIs that we look for in new businesses that we invest in. If we could see this type of behavior modification made by any venture, that's where we get excited and we want to get involved.
If people are curious about where to find more information, where can they go?
So our website is 100% the place to start, bicameralventures.com. My partner, Alex McDougall, he is a prolific writer. He wrote a lot of these thought pieces through major publications. So there is a bunch of public information out there.
Awesome. Kezim Frank, CEO of Bicameral Ventures and co-founder of Aion. Thank you for coming on Crypto 101, sir. Morgan Steckler, Blake Scadron, co-founders of iTrust Capital. Welcome to Crypto 101, gents.
Thank you for having us, Matthew.
Thanks, Matthew.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everybody, if you are saving with 401k, IRAs, or anything else, you need to listen to this episode and how iTrust Capital is working with your retirement savings or your long-term savings with crypto. What does iTrust Capital do?
So what we've done is created a fintech platform and simplified this whole process of rollovers, setting up accounts. We've partnered with a 30-year IRA custodian in New Mexico called SunWest Trust. But we wanted to make it very simple. And so the masses need simplicity. You know, it can't be some complex, convoluted, challenging, technically difficult process. So all the difficult part of it, the software, the moving of cryptos from exchanges to wallets, all of that's done by our software on the back end. Clients, all they need to do is set up accounts through our website, move the funds, which we assist in doing that. And once they're on the platform, it's no different than buying and selling, let's say, like on a Coinbase. Sure, behind the scenes, there's a lot happening. Funds are moving from bank accounts to exchanges, and crypto assets are moving from exchanges to wallets. But from the client's perspective, they're just clicking buy and sell, and they could see everything in a very transparent way, and you know their assets, values, etc. But it just makes for a very simple interface so that anybody can do it.
So you are taking your 401k, your IRA, moving it over to iTrust, either paying the taxes upfront or in a deferred way when you're 59 and a half years old or after, and creating yourself a long hodl situation of cryptocurrency, depending on what you're going to be buying and selling. Is that correct?
Almost. So the option to hold is certainly there. And that's what most of the companies that are out there that are offering the service, if they're charging 10 to 15% on a transaction, that's really your only option because there's no way to actually trade if you have to pay those kinds of fees. So what we've designed is a platform that trades at a 1% buy, 1% sell. So you can buy, sell, trade. The difference is, and the core value to customers is you can play these volatile markets. And as long as the assets and the investments are maintained in this IRA, there's no need to track, there's no capital gains, there's no short-term capital gains, which is a real interesting problem for crypto and traders in general, that if you hold outside of an IRA, if you hold a position for less than 1 year, that's short-term capital gains and it's taxed no different than your ordinary income. So that changes the game. If you do all those same trades inside of an IRA, none of that matters. Because as long as you don't pull any money out of the account, there is no taxable event. So it's long-term savings, but you do have the ability to transact, buy and sell, and play the markets, which can be very lucrative.
The major difference between, say, a long hodler with some Bitcoin in his ledger that he's not going to touch until he's 59 and iTrust is the trade aspect. Is that correct?
That's the primary one, yes. So for someone who's just buying and holding and they're going to leave it on a Ledger Nano for the next 20, 30 years, that's fine. You can do that. Certainly when you do sell, then there'll be capital gains. The real advantage of this program, one, is it allows people who already have existing retirement accounts to utilize those accounts for these investments. But the other is for somebody who wants to be a little more active in buys and sells. It doesn't mean you're a day trader, but somebody who does, you know, would want to trade a few times a year as we see some of these dramatic spikes and dips, it gives them that ability.
What about the security? You said this is a custodial service where you're not holding the funds, but your funds are stored with the Ledger Vault institutional system created by our good friends at Ledger. How is that being stored? How secure is that?
Good question. Yeah, Ledger has created Ledger Vault, their institutional grade. It was designed for, you know, hedge funds and large institutions to store huge amounts. They've partnered with us, and what's great is we can offer that quality of a product to, you know, the average person because of the amount of clients we'll be bringing onto the platform. But it's very intense security, multi-level authorization, governance. There's immense security attached to this to protect that. When your crypto assets are with them, any cash funds are going to be held in a bank, an FDIC insured, like they would at any other bank. So the security level is at its highest, certainly at a higher level than they've been. You know, I would trust my assets in an institutional grade Ledger vault over holding them in my own ledger, you know, in a home safe or, you know, safety deposit box. I think a lot of people would be more comfortable with that as well, having an institution hold it as opposed to them taking all the risk.
The motto of the space is not your keys, not your coin. Where are your keys? And with this question, I also want to ask about the long-term risks and the volatility. How do you guys recommend people to deal with that?
Well, there's a couple questions there, so let's address them. Not your keys, not your coins. You know, that's, some people do say that, but there's a lot of people that are out there that would like to be involved in this space, but they're very intimidated by the whole process of your own keys and setting up wallets. Also, from an IRA compliance, there's many legal opinions out there. I can and even send you some that you can share, maybe a link, that if you own the keys, you've now taken possession and you're breaking IRA rules. Therefore, that's a distribution that can cause all sorts of taxes and penalties in the future should the IRS come down with any rulings. So the keys are held in a series of places with Ledger Vault, with iTrust, and with a custodian. Everything is double or triple verified in terms of transactions. So there is a level of security there. I think more people than not will be more comfortable with that system than with them trying to set all this up themselves and taking the legal risk and the security risk of having it all on them.
And again, about the volatility, the markets, traditional markets are so much more predictable. There's a lot of history to go by, and we can understand relatively safely, unless, you know, the U.S. economy goes tits up, we're going to have something at the end of the rainbow. Sure. With digital assets, it's not for sure because it's only about 10 years old. How do people manage that risk?
So one, we're not financial advisors, so we're not telling people as individuals how much they should do or how long they should hold it or what to buy and when to sell. We just create a platform. Certainly, we can all agree that these markets are volatile, they're new, there's a lot more risk in cryptocurrency than traditional markets generally. However, if you look at the returns, you know, the reward has also been greater over the last decade than just about any other financial market. So the nice thing with this is it's all self-directed. And once you're on our platform, you're buying, you're selling, because of our low transaction fees, you know, if you feel like the market's a little too frothy, it's bubbling, and you want to get out, you can sell it right back into a US dollar position. And if at any point anybody feels that this is no longer an investment they want to be in, they can simply liquidate the investments into dollars and transfer to another IRA custodian, take a distribution. You're not locked into this at all.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, you have total control. So in 5 years, you know, either the coins moon or they don't, and it's time to move on for an individual, just like you would if your funds were at Fidelity or Vanguard or any other major institution, you absolutely have the right to liquidate, transfer, and when you transfer, there's no taxable events as well.
And for these trades and these transfers, you guys aren't taking 10 to 15%. You guys are just taking 1% of these transaction fees. Is that correct?
Yes. Correct. So there's a couple of fees that are out there with all the companies. We're charging just a one-time $299 to set up the account. And that's for the life of the account for any amount, regardless of the amount. There's storage with Ledger Vault, which is 6 basis points, which is the most competitive out there. And then there's $15 per month maintenance of the IRA, which is also the lowest in the industry. And then the core one, core fee with us is just the 1% to transact. So if somebody does want to buy and sell, if somebody just wants to hold, either way, it's only 1% versus, 10 to 15% is kind of the standard for the companies that are offering this right now.
If somebody's interested in this, where can they find you guys?
You can just go to our website, itrustcapital.com. Just sign up. You can receive our mailings, our videos, and when you know the platform is launched, you can come in and you can begin to trade. And for those who want to just sign up, we are doing a Nano Ledger Nano giveaway with our partnership with Ledger. We have iTrust branded Ledger Nano, so every 2 weeks we are picking randomly someone if they so choose.
You can pick me at randomly. I would love one of those. Morgan Blank, thank you for coming on Crypto 101.
Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you guys all enjoyed that. That was super, super informative. You know, we're not tax advisors. We're not financial advisors. Nothing that we say on this show is any of that sort of advice. But I have a 401k through the companies that I've worked for in the past, and I know that I want to get more exposure to the space. I'm going to try this out. I'm going to roll into it.
And I think it's super important that something like this not only exists, but thrives. It finally allows people who are too afraid to go on exchange or control their own money
right.
to have a traditional institution manage it for them. This is the bridge that crypto sorely needed.
Right. And I like how they take security so intensely, right? At the forefront of their mind is securing digital assets. Then they just have a very serious sense of service that they provide.
It's about time someone took responsibility.
It really is. I think that this is going to be a whole movement, right? Think about how much money in the whole world, or, you know, let's just stick in America, right, is in the 401k world, right? If we started to just unlock 1% a year, 0.5%, 2%, whatever, small percent, and started rolling all those 401ks into crypto, I mean, that would do amazing things, not only for building personal wealth, but for the prices of these crypto assets with that new flow of capital.
And you're talking, you know, 0.5%. The American economy, I think, is like $10 trillion a year. So that's already, at 0.5%, that's twice the entire market cap of cryptocurrency right now already. Wow. Flowing in yearly.
I'm not really sure how much money is in 401ks, but it's got to be kind of a boatload.
I think so.
I think everybody has one. But that being said, it was very, very fun, very informative, and we look forward to seeing you guys again. If you guys have questions, comments, concerns, if you want to send us free you know where to find us at Crypto101Pod, and Facebook group is called Crypto101 Podcast Community. Blessings.